Glory to God. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Good to see you here today. God's got a good message for us today. I'm really excited about what I get to preach on today. And I don't really know how you couldn't be. Praise God. So I'm going to need your help getting through it. Praise God, because I can already feel it's hard to stand up here already. So the goodness of God is this good at the beginning. Well, praise the Lord. We got to see it all the way through the end. But before I get into the message, there's something on my heart I wanted to share with the congregation here. You know, I get away to several meetings a year. It's something that's required or highly suggested in our board, the bylaws and stuff like that we get away to several meetings a year. And it's important for a minister, just as it is for people, to get a reset. Amen. Well, this year it happens that quite a few of the meetings that I was going to go to this year happened in the first part of the year, which is good, praise the Lord. But sometimes in the natural, you think, well, I don't know if this is the right time to do this. You know, financially it can be expensive to travel and stuff like that. But you know, this last week, I felt a real strong leading to be in these special meetings that were in California. It wasn't really hard because it was in Southern California where the sun shines all the time. So it wasn't really hard to say, yes, I'll go. But, you know, I don't make a decision based on the weather. Praise the Lord. And we got there. And as I sat in these meetings, I have never been in a set of meetings that I can remember that were so impactful in my life and my ministry. Amen. And so it's important to follow the direction of God. And that's important to say that. But one of the things is I got some answers to some things that had happened and some things I kind of kept quiet a little bit, but I want to share them with you today. You know, it's been on my heart to have more prayer in the church, more prayer services. And this year we've had one, amen. We're going to have another one this week. But when we had that prayer service, we were in here, and as we were praying, I was drawn to a certain area in the sanctuary. And I don't want to point it out just because I don't want people to get goofy and weird about it, because it's not about that. But it's an area of the church that I've often been drawn to, amen, just in my spirit as I've been preaching. And I realized as I was standing there, I started speaking, and if you were in the prayer service, you may have even remembered me saying, what are you here for? Hallelujah. Well, what I had become aware of is that there was an angel standing there, and this angel was very large. In this room. Now, I didn't see the angel with my eyes. I saw him in my spirit. Amen. And he was very large, and he was hunched over because he was so big he couldn't stand up completely in the room. And he was hunched over, and I wanted, and when there's an angel present, there's always a purpose for him. You know, and don't think this is weird. The Bible talks a lot about angels. Amen. I mean, the whole Mary was visited by an angel to know that she was going to have Jesus. Praise the Lord. But we know that angels are very prominent and used in the Bible. Praise God. And so we're not being goofy, not being weird, just telling you the truth, amen? And the Bible even says that we'll have experiences with angels, amen? Praise God. I think it's in Hebrews. It talks about you can run across angels not even knowing it. But at any rate, this particular angel, I knew that he wasn't just there that day, that he'd been there for a while. And I knew that he was connected to this church somehow. And I sensed that it was a kind of an overseer of the church, like kind of a protection type of thing. But I wasn't quite sure what he was here for. And so I spoke to him and I said, what are you here for? Because, you know, sometimes you have to respond. Not sometimes, you always have to respond to God. Amen. And so at any rate, I responded, and I didn't get an instant answer, and I just keep it before the Lord. And of course, I didn't come right out and say anything. But when I was in California, I got the answer to why he was here. Amen. Also, for some time, there has been a ceiling on this church that I've sensed spiritually that has kept this church from breaking through into the next level, to where the church has to go, and that includes the people. Amen. And I've been praying about it, and I've come against it in the spirit, but sometimes it's just something that's there, and you have to break through it, amen? And there's reasons for it. And what I heard in my spirit when I was in California was that angel was here. The reason he was hunched over is because he was under that ceiling waiting for the command to lift that ceiling. Hallelujah. And so when I realized that, and when it came to me, I was blown away, and the answer was there the whole time. I just didn't see it. Hallelujah. And see, that's why it's important to stay before God, because whenever we have something going on, there's always a spiritual reason for it, but there's always a spiritual way to get out of it. Amen. And so what I did was I commanded that angel from California to lift that ceiling. Praise the Lord. Well, how many know that when a ceiling is lifted in a congregation, that means that the ceiling is lifted in your lives as well. So if you'll hook up and go on with it, I believe that there's increase in areas in people's lives. And when I'm saying increase, I'm not just talking finances. That may be part of it, may not. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about increase in general in our lives. Amen? Whether it's joy, happiness, peace. But I wanted to share that with you. I thought it was important to. And I hope you're excited, because I am very excited about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Angels are there to help us. Beginning of Hebrews tells us that angels are there to minister to us or for us. Amen? That's what they're there for. People don't ever use angels because they don't know how. They don't know anything about them. Most people think that angels look like, what was it, pretty blonde women in white robes, right? That's what we always, isn't that what you always see? But you never see angels portrayed that way in the Bible. Amen? Well, praise God. They're generally messengers or warriors. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, today's message is directly from heaven. There's a lot of things that I wanted to preach on, but I know that this is what we're supposed to preach on today. And so today's message is called Rejoice. Praise God. Rejoice with an exclamation mark. That exclamation mark is important, because rejoice isn't just something that you rejoice. No, rejoice is something that has an exclamation mark. In fact, when you use the word rejoice, it probably should never be used without an exclamation mark. Amen? And rejoice is something that the Father wants for us to do. Amen? And in the message today that I'm preaching about is a message about joy. Amen? Praise the Lord. I pulled up a scripture real quick. It came to my heart during worship, and I just want to share it with you real quick. It's just write it down, Proverbs 18:24. It says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." A man who has friends must himself be friendly. You know, nobody likes somebody who's nasty. Nobody likes somebody who's mean. Nobody likes somebody who doesn't smile. People don't like people who are stale. What are they drawn to? People are always drawn to people with charismatic personalities. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, you know something? God is a very charismatic personality. And don't you know that the Spirit of God will also be drawn to charismatic personalities? Hallelujah. What do I mean by that? I mean people who are happy. The Bible has a lot to say about this, because happiness is something that is given to us, is something we should be walking in. Happiness is not just something we get to experience once in a while, but it is an actual fruit of the Spirit. It's something that we should be a defining part of our lives. Hallelujah. And we're going to read about that. So as we get into this, I want you to consider that how we receive matters to God, and how you will receive from God matters according to how you received from God. And what I mean is if you want something from God, then you have to put something out there, praise the Lord, to receive it right. We want to be the right ground. Amen. This message in particular is going to deal very strongly with sour-faced Christianity. Hallelujah. I've seen a lot of Christians over the years that look like they've been sitting around sucking on lemons. They sit there, you preach a message, you can preach about anything, and you look out there and they look unhappy. Praise the Lord. Now, maybe they're not unhappy, maybe it's just the expression on their face, but it matters how we come before the Lord. It matters that we come not sour face, because you know something? The truth is, when somebody is full of joy, they aren't going to look like they've been sucking on lemons, are they? When you're happy, you don't look sad, do you? When you're happy, you can tell. Rachel was talking about that, praise the Lord, when she was exhorting before the last couple songs there or whatever. You know, you can tell when somebody is happy. You can tell when somebody's miserable, amen? Christians should never look miserable. And the sad fact is, most Christians look miserable most of the time. And that's because they have no idea what God has actually done. They don't trust God. If you are a Christian who is sour-faced, you don't trust God, you don't know God, you don't know what He's done, and you don't believe what His Son did for you. Because if you understood any of that stuff, you couldn't walk around being sad all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, this is a message. Oh, I'm so excited, because you know something? When you preach about something, it'll come on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And today I'm preaching about joy. Glory to God. And I woke up today and I was a little bit angry about some things and I was a little bit mad about some things. But even as I'm getting up here stirring right now, I'm starting to tickle with joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got little tinglies going down my sideburns right now. I'm about to come out of my skin. I'm so excited. Praise the Lord. Because I'm preaching about joy. Let's not be sour-faced Christians. Praise the Lord. Let's be happy that Jesus died and gave us some stuff. Hallelujah. To do and some stuff to get through. Praise the Lord. We're going on to what God's got for us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the first scripture we're going to start for, I'm not going to have you turn there, but we're just going to pull it up. Write it down. Look at it later if you don't believe me. Nehemiah 8:10. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10. I love this scripture. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. What's the strength? The joy of the Lord. That's your strength. When people, see, so many times people are praying for things and they're not breaking through things. And the thing that they're forgetting is that it's the joy of the Lord that's your strength. We are never told to have joy just because it feels like it. In fact, we see over and over and over that just like love, joy is a choice. Just because, you can stir yourself up in love. You can stir yourself up in joy. You can stir yourself up in the things of God. The Bible's told us that. I'm living proof of that, praise the Lord. I'm stirring myself up this morning as I'm preaching. I'm just getting excited because I understand this is something that was put in me and just, I almost came out of my skin, praise the Lord, when the Lord was like, preach to my people. There were so many things that I could have corrected today. There's so many things that I could have pounced on today. There's so many things that I could have brought to people, and the Lord wanted me to preach on joy, glory to God, because God wants His people happy. He wants His people joyful. Praise the Lord. He wants you to break through into that next level, but you will not do it if you look like you're sucking on lemons. Hallelujah. If you come into church and you don't get an idea that this place is meant to change your life, to take you into that next level, to take you into that place that God has for you, if you can't get that yet, then you are missing the whole thing, because God created this whole thing. Jesus paid the price on the cross so you could sit there and smile, glory to God. Yes, smile, and not just smile, just fake smile, but smile from the very depths of your core, the very depths of your spirit. God wants you full, 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 full of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you need to get over that mountain, you got to stir up that joy and go over the mountain. When you need to get through that trial, you need to stir up joy and get through that trial. When you need to go through the fire, take joy with you, because that's your strength. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is very... There's so much in Scripture about joy, joy, joy. I remember when we were in Sunday school growing up, we would even sing that song. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Praise the Lord. We would sing about that. But then people would still be, they'd still sit through church like they're miserable. We got the joy in our heart. God has placed it there. He said, just tap into it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when you were back in the days, we're kind of spoiled because we have water that comes directly to our houses now. But you know, back in the day when you had to go to, when you wanted water, you had to go to a well. When you were thirsty, you had to go to the well. When you were thirsty, you had to draw something out of a hole in the ground, amen? You had to go somewhere where you knew where it was, and you had to draw on it. It's the same thing with the things of the Spirit. We have to draw on those things. We have to go to the well that we know, and we have to draw out. If you want joy, you have to go to the living well, which is Jesus Christ, and you have to draw out through His Spirit the joy and bring it on up. Hallelujah. If you want to experience happiness and you're going to sit around waiting for God to just drop it on your lap, I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to happen. You'll never experience it. You'll never see it, because God doesn't drop nothing. I'm going to tell you, He didn't drop nothing. He already gave us Jesus. He said, it's all done. When He gave us Jesus, it was all set up. Everything you ever needed was in Jesus. And you sit there and question God, will this ever come? Will this ever happen? It's because you don't know your Lord. You don't know your God. If you're sitting around waiting for it to happen, you don't know your God. God does not just happen to do things. He does things by purpose, and He already did it. He gave us everything that He ever needed to give us in Jesus. Hallelujah. But we are the ones who are responsible to draw out. Praise God. Hallelujah. We draw out. God is not drawing out for us. You know, there's so many people, it is a travesty that Christians have been taught the opposite, that God does everything, that he's sovereign, he just does everything. Because when Christians believe that, they don't go and receive the things that they're supposed to receive. Listen, you can get you. I can write you 1,000 checks for $1,000. That's a lot of money, right? How much is it? It's $100,000, right? No, it's $1,000,000. Praise the Lord. It's $1,000,000. Am I right? Yeah, $1,000. Yeah, it's $1,000,000. Praise the Lord. You know, I got a GED. You know, praise the Lord. And we don't use calculators anymore. So, no, they do use calculators. Yeah. That's what it is. See. I even got that wrong. But praise the Lord. If I give you 1,000 checks for $1,000 and you never cash them, you still don't got nothing. Right? You got to cash it in. Amen? You can give somebody everything. You can give somebody every single tool. I give Christians tools every single week. Some people don't ever even show up to get them. Some people, when they do show up, they don't even listen. They may sit there through the service, but they don't take heed to anything and never put it to practice, and that's why they don't experience. The only reason that one Christian experiences more than another Christian is because one Christian cashes the checks. You want from God, you need to start cashing checks. You need to start going to the bank and cashing them checks. Because God doesn't just happen. Things don't just fall in your lap. It doesn't happen that way. Praise the Lord. You know, God has increased me in the ministry greatly over the years. And what I mean increase me, I mean in spiritual things. And he has brought me through. I started off as just a guy that nobody knew. My wife and I, we came into church and nobody knew us. We didn't look special. Nobody brought us in, really. We just kind of came in. I mean, somebody told us about the church, but we didn't come there as a guest per se, or somebody wasn't investing all the time in us and all that stuff. And we just kept coming back to the church and coming back to the church. And I remember being in there, and I remember wanting to tap into those upper levels. Man, I wanted to be somebody that stood next to the pastor. I wanted to be somebody that eventually got to go with the pastor and be around and hear things and be, you know, and all that stuff. And what I did was I just started sowing. I started going to the well and cashing checks, or going to the bank and cashing checks. I started going to the well and drawing out. What do I mean by that? I just started doing whatever I knew that would put me in that position. I served more. I served more. I gave more. I did all the things. I did whatever was, whenever the Spirit of the Lord led me to do something, I followed that Spirit, and he put me in the place every single time to increase. Do you know, I've gotten to the place where it was prophesied over me that I would be around mighty men and women of God, and it's come to pass. Praise the Lord. They know me by name. I have their phone numbers. I call them. I can text them, talk to them. Praise the Lord. Then when I'm around, they're blessed. They hug me. You know, I got in their graces because, not because I was being a schmooze or something like that, but because I was hungry for it, and I went after it, and I did the things that I needed to do. Listen, if you want to increase in something, you need to put out something. You can't increase by sitting there being a stale, sour-faced Christian. You aren't going to increase with God. There are so many Christians that live and die and never walk into what God has for them because they never moved. They sat there like lumps on the log and never got anything. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We want to be blessed. We want to be a blessing to the Lord. And as such, he wants to bless us. Amen. Turn with me to Galatians 5:22. Praise God. If you've been in this church for any length of time, you know these scriptures. Praise the Lord. Where are you? They're back here. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:22. I love these scriptures. What does Galatians 5:22 say? But the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Praise the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit? The fruit, of course, the Spirit is the Spirit of God, and the fruit is what is a byproduct of that thing, right? The fruit is, if you have an orange tree, the fruit of it is an orange. Amen? If you have a lemon tree, the fruit of it is a lemon. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have a spirit tree, the fruit of it is love, joy, peace. Now, we know this, that love is the greatest of things, right? Didn't Jesus say that? Love is the most important thing. Well, where is love listed in this list? Number one, right? Why? Because love is most important, right? What's the second thing that's listed? It doesn't say unhappiness. It doesn't say sadness. It doesn't say discontentment. It says joy. Listen, if you're discontented, you're not in joy. If you're not doing what you want to do, you're not in joy. If you're not happy, if you're not in contentment, if you're not in the place where, you know, it's just good because I know my God is, you're not in joy. Joy is the second fruit of the Spirit that we are given. The first one is love. You cannot love without the Spirit of God. You cannot love the way God loves without the Spirit of God. Boy, that kind of erases a lot of things that a lot of people are talking about nowadays in the world, isn't it? Yeah, because people don't know. If they don't know God, they don't know anything about love. There's a lot of Christians that know nothing about love. Ooh, how do I know this? Because there's a lot of Christians that make Christians look bad. And those are Christians that don't know anything about love. Listen, if you preach the truth, if you are full of the truth, then you're full of love and you aren't going to look bad to God. You understand? You aren't going to make God look bad. Amen? Praise the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Those are some, those first three things are maybe the top three things that people in the world are looking for. Right there. You can sum up everything that people are after in life, everything, the reason that you go to work, the reason you get married, the reason that you seek after. I mean, how much money is spent in life trying to get these three things? How much time, how much effort in life is spent trying to get these three things? And the Lord says that it's a fruit of the Spirit. I said it's a fruit of the Spirit. This is a byproduct of what the Spirit gives us. But see, Christians don't know stuff about that Spirit. You start talking about Spirit, people that have been to church three times in their life, they it bothers them to hear that. What's that spiritual stuff? I even sense when I was talking about the angel that some people got a little wigged out about that, amen? But the Bible talks about it. Jesus talked about it. It talks about it over and over and over. It's in the Bible, and yet people get wigged out because they don't know. See, if you don't know something, it's going to bother you. And that's the whole point of this message. The reason people don't walk in joy is because they don't know joy is something that they can just walk in. They think joy only happens after something else. See, this is the problem with Christians, is they go to God and they think that faith or everything else, they think everything comes after the fact. God gives us, or before. They say, if God wants you to have it, then you'll have it. That's not true at all. Not true at all. He gave us Jesus. That was a catalyst to get us everything else. Everything else comes as we step out. Faith is stepping out first. Faith is when you say, well, I can't, but I'm gonna. I said, faith says when you say you feel like you can't, but you say, I'm gonna. That's what faith is. Whatever, you fill in the blank, you put whatever is in there. Well, the pastor talk about paying off the church. I can't do that. That's you never will. Because you keep saying you can't. That's not faith. Faith is shown when you start paying it off. And then God connects you with you and he pours more in. Praise the Lord. Oh, it isn't a joke, but that's the way faith works. That's the only way faith works. How do you know? Well, you look at salvation. Jesus said that, the Bible says that you have to receive Jesus before salvation. You don't get salvation until you receive him. So until you do what faith requires, which is act, you don't get salvation, right? Isn't that the truth? You don't get into heaven until you do that thing. There's lots of people that never go to heaven because they don't do that thing. They don't act. Amen? The same thing is with everything else. If you want to walk in anything God has for you, you must step out first. God is going to, he's going to bring you right to the ledge, and that ledge is going to look like there's nothing out there, and he's going to say, now you got to step. Praise the Lord. And you got to have faith enough to go. If you don't have faith enough to go, you will never walk into what God has for you. See, that's the thing. There's different levels. The Bible tells us there's different levels of what Christians will receive. Jesus said there's different kinds of ground. Some people come in, they're terrible ground. They'll never receive anything from God. Some people come in and they're okay ground. They'll receive a little bit. Some people will receive a little bit more. Some people will receive, and then there's what we have, hundredfold Christians that receive everything that God has for them. Yeah. Praise the Lord, because they go after it. Right. Because they're ones that say that I won't be held back by my thoughts. I won't be held back by my job. I won't be held back by my circumstance. I won't be held back by sickness. I won't be held back by anything. There's nothing that will hold me back from going into what God has for me to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I was faced with this just this week. Although these were some of the greatest meetings I was in, I also had some of the greatest attack I ever had in a meeting. By the last meeting, and the first ones were awesome, I'm just like, can they get any better than this? By the last meeting, it was literally like this. I had so much pressure on me that I felt tears coming. I was sitting in a meeting that was talking about joy, talking about love, that was talking about how to get into what God has for you. That was instructing me in everything that I'm answering, all these questions that I had. And the devil was just pouring on the pressure. Yeah. Oh, he was just pouring out. My head started hurting. It just started to the point where my face started feeling like it was contorted. It was bad. I almost felt like I was going to have to leave. It was so bad. And I sat there and I pleaded with the Lord. I said, Lord, take this away from me. Take this away from me. But you know, it didn't. It didn't just leave me like that. Praise the Lord. I had to choose something. I had to choose to operate. I had to choose to push through. I had to choose to see it through to the end. And then I finally said, because I had the pressure, and you know, there was a lot of instruction of things we have to do, and I had a lot of correction of things I need to change in my life, and I started realizing, and I was like, Lord, and this was part of the pressure, I'm like, I can't do this, and I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm getting frustrated as they're preaching, and I'm like, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And then I remembered the scripture that said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I said, Lord, I'm just going to say I'm going to do it. I'm just gonna break through. I'm just gonna go on to the other side. Hallelujah. See, this is how joy works. Because then the joy of God started filling me. I don't feel that way anymore. I ain't stressed no more about it. See, I ain't broke down. See, we gotta push. We can't be so soft. You know, this country is full of, especially today, oh glory God, hallelujah, is full of a bunch of soft people. I can't stand softness in people. I can't stand it. Praise the Lord. Well, sometimes I like softness, but I don't like people. When I mean soft, I'm talking about people who are just blown over by any little wind that comes. It's annoying. Praise the Lord. I was that person. Don't be that person. When something blows strong, just stand against it, for God's sakes. Stop being so weak and whiny. Jesus didn't die so we could be weak and whiny. He died so we could be full of joy. Full of joy. I mean, stop. I mean, seriously. Sometimes, you know what? Guess what? Jesus said in life, there'll be trials. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it. Just get over it. There's trials. Were there less trials when you didn't know God? Certainly not. But there's going to be trials. But there's going to also be victory if you're not going to be soft. But if you're going to be soft, you're going to be mowed right over. Glory to God. Preaching about joy. Amen. Love, joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's joy. It's joyous happiness. We got to tap into it. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. I wrote this down. What fruit do you partake of that you don't harvest? You can have an apple tree in your yard, but if you don't go pick the apples off of it, pick them up off the ground, you aren't going to partake of it, right? If you don't bring them to your mouth, you'll never eat it. Right? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. At the same time, you will also partake of whatever you harvest. So if you go out and if you go to dead, rotten trees, and I'm talking metaphorically here, if you go up to dead, rotten trees that have fruit that's full of worms, and you consume dead, rotten fruit that's full of worms, guess what you're going to have? You're going to be full of dead, rotten fruit that's full of worms. That's the way that it is. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Christians, you will have what you want to have. You will only have what you want to have. You will have what you're okay with. But you will never have what God has for you if you don't do the things God wants you to do to get there. You won't have what God has for you if you don't do what's required of you. You won't get it. Why? Because it's no different than going to the tree. You can have an orchard full of trees, but if you don't go to them, you won't harvest. You won't. You have to harvest a certain way. Seed time and harvest. God told us all about this. Amen? What fruit are you partaking of in life? What's the fruit of your life? Look at your life. Are you happy with what's happening? It's not God's fault. God's given you the way out. What you partake of is your fault. It's your fault. What you have in life is your decision. God gave us Jesus. Romans 8:32 said, if he gave us Jesus, he'll give us everything else. If that's the truth, if the Bible is true, I'm going to throw this out here. If Romans 8:32 is true, then you have only what you've decided you're going to have. And what you have is the fruit of what you've done. You will only have what you decide you're going to have. If you have a miserable marriage, Romans 8:32, he said he'd give you a good marriage. Praise the Lord. It isn't God's fault that you have a terrible marriage. Some people have terrible marriages and they blame God. Some people have terrible things in life. They have terrible luck. A Christian that talks about luck is another Christian that has no clue. There's no such thing as luck. There's no luck with God. what God will do for one, he'll do for another. It doesn't matter. He's not, God is not biased. He ain't looking at you saying, oh, I love you more and I don't love them. No. If somebody's walking, if you look around, you see your brothers and sisters walking in something that you wish you had, and you start getting jealous. See, this is where the devil comes into play. Because if you look around what someone else has and you start getting jealous saying, why don't I have that? The reason you don't have that is because you're not doing what they did. Hallelujah. You want joy, you got to do the things that produce joy. You aren't going to do it by things that produce sour face Christianity. Hallelujah. If you want the things that God has for you, then you got to decide, I'm just going to do it. And when the devil comes knocking, you're just going to have to say, wait a minute here. We have to stop. When we have temptation, hallelujah, to do something wrong, we have to stop and say, wait a minute. Do I want to eat the fruit of what I'm about to do? And if you're okay with it, then you continue on. But don't come looking to me to help you. Don't come looking to me to bail you out, because I'm not going to do it. Praise the Lord. Some people think I'm cold that way, but I'm not going to do it. I am not going to be one of those pastors that sits around while people want to be soft and sit there and say, well, it's okay, you just keep doing that, and I'm just going to sit here praying. I won't even pray for you. I'm going to tell you why. Because my prayer won't be effective. I can't overpray your will. Woo! It's the truth. I can't. I can't pray. I can't outpray your will. Do you know that? Jesus himself could not outpray their will. Listen, there are people, there are success. You look at, you take some of the worst things of the worst. You take like the ghettos and some of the big cities and stuff like that, where the worst thing, people are raised the worst. There are success stories all the time of people that come out of that because they've decided to rise above it. They come out on the other side and they don't live that life anymore. I met a pastor this week that was raised. He was raised in Compton in L.A., Compton, it's one of the worst areas that there is as far as gang violence. And he was a gang member. I think he was Mexican, a little Mexican guy. He wasn't very tall. I mean, he was real short, wasn't he? But wow, man, what a precious man of God. Hallelujah. But he was telling me he was raised in that. But then somebody got the gospel to him and he decided to change. He don't live in that no more. He hasn't lived in that for 60 years, 50 years or something like that. I mean, it's like 50, not quite 50. Yeah, maybe about 50 or 40 or 50. No, I think he said about 40 or about 50, but whatever it was, it doesn't matter. The fact is the only reason he got out is because he decided to do something different. Yeah, he decided. What you get is a result of what you decide you want to have. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You say, but Pastor Jeff, it isn't easy. Sometimes it's not easy. So what? Sometimes things aren't easy. Amen? Praise the Lord. But what isn't easy is living in a path that the devil has for us. Praise God. I want to live in joy. Sometimes you don't feel like joy. I got to get going because I want you to see some things here. Because joy is not about just what you feel. It's about what you put on. You know, I was thinking about this. If I had, I'll just say somebody here. If I had a little guy, Caleb over here, good young man, good solid young man over here. We like him. But you see his jacket he's wearing? He's wearing a jacket, keep himself warm, praise the Lord. But if I put that jacket on and I wore it up here preaching, you'd say something's wrong, wouldn't you? You'd notice something is wrong. Why? But I'm a little bit bigger than Caleb is, aren't I? Not much taller, but I'm definitely bigger, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, and the other thing is it doesn't necessarily match my suit, right? Praise the Lord. That's the truth. But if I put that on, you'd know something isn't right. See, it matters what we put on, doesn't it? See, I didn't call up Caleb and say, hey, Caleb, can I borrow your sweet jacket today? Because I'm going to preach and I want to look real good. The jacket looks good on him, right? He's a good-looking kid over there. Got a nice jacket. But you know something? It wouldn't go with my outfit, would it? It wouldn't go. People would say, hey, if I came up here with that, my arms would be out like this. You know what I'm saying? And it would be all tight. I definitely wouldn't be able to zip it up. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there'd probably be a big rip down the back of it. I'd get up here and I have that thing on and you'd be like, where do we come today? What is Pastor Jeff doing? Now, what did he smoke out there in California? What did he get into? What's he been stepping in? Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you know what I'm talking about? But that's how a lot of Christians look like. Man, you have so many Christians that look like they just got a colonoscopy. Hallelujah. You got Christians all the time. You know that's not comfortable. I have to use things like that so you understand. There's Christians all the time that look like they're just the most uncomfortable as you could possibly be. Praise the Lord. That's the way it is. But we don't want to be colonoscopy Christians. Hallelujah. We're going to change this message. Don't be a colonoscopy Christian. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants us to walk in things, but we ain't going to do it automatically. We got to decide. Praise the Lord. Did I tell you to turn to Philippians? Flip over to Philippians. Hallelujah. Philippians 4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is so good. I forgot where Philippians was. I'm getting so excited here. There it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:4. God is so good. It's good to laugh in church. Amen? It's good to get stirred up and to let the giggles come out once in a while. Amen? Sometimes we do need to just have giggle fits. Sometimes we just need to get a little giggly, hallelujah, in life. Just have a giggle fit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Maybe that'll be our new advertisement. Come to Family Church Mayville. We have giggle fits. Praise God. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Exclamation mark. This was not meant to be read like, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. When? Do you rejoice in the Lord? Always. When is always? It's always. Does always happen when you're in trial? Yes, that's part of always. Amen? You know the great thing about the word always? It covers everything. Everything. Man, it's tough. It's tough right now. I feel it's getting thick in here. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Wasn't enough to say it once, was it? That word there for rejoice, praise the Lord, I think it's pronounced chiro. Okay, it's Greek. That's going to be important later on. Not so much right now. You'll be like, oh, what does that mean now? But it doesn't matter, but it will be later on. Rejoice. It means to rejoice, a joyful greeting, praise the Lord. It's a response, amen? It's a response. I got this image. You all know that I have a certain fondness for a not very well-known man named Elvis. Praise the Lord. But when Elvis would walk on stage, this is the vision that came to my heart. When he wouldn't even walk on stage and people would be out there just hooting and hollering. But man, when that man came out on stage, and I don't care what your flavor is, maybe it's the Beatles, maybe it's something else, but when they came on stage, people came unglued. Yeah. That's what they were doing. Yeah. They were rejoicing. They were responding to what was before them. Praise God. See, when we recognize who is before us, when we recognize who our Father is, when we recognize what He paid for, when we recognize what He's done, it's not so hard to rejoice. See, what we need to say, this is a command. Rejoice. Always. He's saying rejoice. It's a command, and He's telling you to do it always. There is no exception for this. When it's hard, rejoice. Especially when it's hard. When you don't feel like it, rejoice. Why? Because you're going to rejoice always. That's what He told us to do. That's very important because, again, everything, there's a command, and then there's the result of what happens. Amen? In the Bible, whenever He's commanded us to do something, He almost always tells us what happens as a result of us doing it. So verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Listen, I'm going to tell you, mean people, they don't rejoice. Mean people, if you have a problem with anger, you're not rejoicing. You're not walking in the joy of the Lord. You're not walking in the things God has for you. It will keep you out from going in. It will keep you out from what God has for you. Because let your gentleness be known to all men. Hallelujah. That's also men, women, who aren't nice to you. That's especially those who aren't nice to you. Those are ones who have spitefully used you. Those are ones that maybe have done horrible things to you. You let your gentleness, because it's not about them, it's about you and God, amen? We're still talking about the effects of rejoicing, amen? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Many of you have gotten these scriptures from me when you've been going through something. Yeah, and I would say that maybe not all of you have even taken heed to these things. Rejoice, I say, in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always in the Lord. Because this is what is wrapped up in that. You see, you can't, if you're rejoicing, you're not going to be anxious. And if you're going to be anxious, you're not going to be rejoicing. So if you've got anxiety going on, you need to start rejoicing. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you get at trial, then you need to prayer and supplication, praying for other people and other things. Praise the Lord. With thanksgiving. So many people forget this. Thanksgiving is one of the biggest parts of the completion of prayer. Prayer does not get completed just by praying and then saying amen. It gets completed when you're thankful for it. When you pray to God for something, you see, a lot of people, they do this. They pray to God. They go to God, Lord, I need this or that. And then they come back, oh, Lord, I need this or that. And then a few days later, Lord, I need this or that. A few days later, Lord, I need this or that. Then they call up 10 people. Hey, help me because I need this or that. And so then you got 10 people praying for you. Lord, I need this or that. This is how people pray. And you got 11 people praying. Lord, Jeff needs this or that. Praise the Lord. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to ask. We're supposed to ask. We're supposed to take our request. But God says that he already knows what we need. We're supposed to ask, to recognize to God, to show him that we recognize that we can't do it of ourselves. And then we thank him for it. Thanksgiving is where the answer is found. Most people don't have what they even prayed for because they never got into Thanksgiving. You say, well, I haven't seen it yet. That's exactly the problem. See, that's why you're not rejoicing, because you haven't seen it yet. That's why you don't know your God, because you haven't seen him yet. See, if you knew your God, you knew it's coming. If you really know who your God is, it's coming. There's no other option. He said that he will never leave me or forsake me. What does never mean? The same thing as always, right? Just the opposite end of it, right? It means the same exact thing. He said, when is he going to leave you? Well, he might leave you. Well, this trial is pretty big. He might leave you here. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you really understood that scripture, you wouldn't have a problem rejoicing. Why? Because that would be your answer right there. You would say, wait a minute, this trial is coming against me, but I'm going to rejoice. Guess when the manifestation of the end of your problem happens? After Thanksgiving. It happens after rejoicing. It happens after you. Well, see, because God, it shows the ultimate faith when you go before God in such faith and you say, you know what? I know that I got this already. I know that you provided it already. Christians don't do that. And that's why Christians don't see. That's why they don't see. The answer is right there. Look at this. And it goes on. Let your request be made known to God. And once you've done all this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart, your hearts and mind and minds. When? After you've rejoiced, after you've taken your request to God, and then after you thanked him for it. How about you start spending your life doing that instead of calling up everybody and complaining about what you're going through? Or talking about as many people as you can about the issue that you're facing, or the issue that sister so-and-so is facing, or brother so-and-so is facing. How about you shut your yap for the things that are bad and start using your yap for things that are good? Yeah. But people don't do that. They talk, oh, this is... And they talk themselves right out of their blessing. Yeah. All the time. Listen, folks, it's in the Bible. I ain't making this up. Did I make any of this up? You see it yourself. Open your Bible. Hey, guess what? If you have a King James Bible, it'll say the same thing, just with some these and thous. Hallelujah. God's saying the same thing. It doesn't matter. God, hallelujah. We want to rejoice. We want to be people who rejoice. Praise God. And the peace of God, after all that. The peace is when you've rejoiced. See, what happens is the devil gives you problems, trials. He sends them your way because he wants you to get out of joy and thus out of peace. Because when you're out of joy and out of peace, you're out of faith and you can't please God. And you can't receive from God. And when you can't receive from God, then you're not going to follow God. You're not going to do the things God wants you to do. And the devil knows this. So when you're walking around and you're, see, this is the thing, because Christians still think it's all about themselves. If you still come to church for you, and you've been coming to church for any length of time, you've lost it all. You've lost it all, because we're supposed to come get our help, but then we're supposed to come be a supply. That's why it's important for people to show up. Because other people need you too. Because you know something? You were broken and you came in hurting. There was other people that were already doing the work for you. But the truth of the matter is probably 20% of, I think it's about 20% of the church does 100% of the work. Yeah, 100% of the work. Praise the Lord. We were talking about this down Corey last night. I was sharing with them. You know, people get mad at pastors about asking for offerings and stuff like that. You know, that entire church is running off offerings. And not offerings out there. Mostly offerings. Some of the offerings are there, starting to increase. It's not free. Those people, well, I had a lady, a precious lady who just got connected just since we've been in the building, come up to me and she said, I just want to thank you so much because this is helping me. So has anyone else ever come up to me and said that from here? Do you understand that it's not me? Obviously, it's God, what the work of the Lord, what he's doing. My point is this. If we never went, she would have never got that. There are other people that are getting connected, the same thing, that were burned, that were hurt other places, but they can't get connected unless somebody's making it happen. Praise the Lord. You know, I've told the Lord, we'll do it ourselves. Whatever we have to do, if we have to sell our house, if we have to get rid of everything, if we have to live in a tent to make the work of the Lord happen, we'll do that. How many people are willing to do that? Some people aren't even willing to give up coffee money to do it. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. But we're talking about joy. We're living in joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Finally, brethren, because we ain't done yet. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, go through this list in your head after church. Write the scripture down and go through this. Whatever those things are, right? Whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, think about these things. This is where your mind needs to be, not on the trial, not what's going wrong, not what you don't have. It's these things. Meditate on the things that are praiseworthy. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always in him. Why? This is telling you how to get out of trial. This is telling you how to stop the attack. That's what the scripture is. But guess what? You got to do something. It's not going to happen automatically. You got to do it. If you don't do it, you will never see it. I can't make it happen for you. And I'm not going to try. I'm not going to waste my time. Why? Because I'm not into wasting my time. I don't have enough time as it is. Amen? I will do things that are fruitful. I will not waste my time on things that aren't fruitful. I said I will not waste my time on things that are not fruitful. I won't do it. I'm going to tell you this. This is going to be real bold, but I believe I'm supposed to say it. I won't waste my time on people that aren't fruitful. Yeah, there's plenty of places. There's plenty of dead churches that are full of people that aren't fruitful. I don't want any part of it. I want people that are going to produce something for God. I want people that are going to actually do the word and live the word and see that things change in their life. Not go to somebody who's constantly going against the word and saying and just spitting in the face of Jesus. Because that's what you do when you don't do the word. You spit in the face of the Lord. You say, what you did doesn't matter to me because I'm going to do whatever I want to do anyways. That isn't following God, and I have no time for that. No time for that. Praise the Lord. Glory, happy face because we're talking about joy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We want to live in joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. It's a promise. That's the promise. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You can greet any obstacle, anything that comes at you in your life. Say it's a new bill. How about greeting it like this next time? You know, because that's rejoice and greeting. It's kind of wrapped into one. How about greeting it like this? You get something that you can't handle? Hey, do you know who my God is? Do you know what my God did? Do you know what Jesus did for me? Next time the devil tells you how worthless you are. Or how much you can't. Do you know who my God is? Do you know, devil, that he paid the price for me? Never mind all these people out here. He did it for me. If I was the only one that ever received him, he did it for me. My God did that for me. Why do I stand here and preach the gospel? Why do I offer my life to God continually, over and over again? Because I have revelation of what he did for me. Because it matters what he did for me. I don't just take it as something that's, oh, this got me out of my trouble, so pray. No. He changed my life. He took somebody that was in the depths of hell on earth and he made them somebody who could be full of joy. He made them somebody who could enjoy life. I didn't enjoy life. I didn't enjoy any day. I put things into my body to escape where my head was. Yeah, that's what I did. But see, the Lord changed all that around. That's why I serve God, because I'm grateful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It means something to me. Praise the Lord. Why do we do what? And I'm not saying like great us, because it's not great us. It's great God. It's what he did. I couldn't do this without him. I couldn't minister the word without him. How do we get in joy? Because we think about what God actually did. He saved you from hell, if nothing else. He kept you from spending eternity in a place. The Bible, you know what the Bible describes hell as? A place where the worm never dies. A place of eternal torment. A place of gnashing of teeth. Do you know what gnashing of teeth is? It's grinding your teeth because you're in so much agony. That's what hell is. That's what all these people that aren't here today, out there in the world, that's what all of them are facing. Do you know most of the world will end up in that place? And a lot of it's because Christians never learned how to do the basic word of the Lord. They never learned to do the basic, live in joy. Why? Because most people look at Christians, they think we're a joke. They look at Christians and they think, why would I want to live like that mess? I mean, seriously, some Christians are the biggest masses of mess that there is. It's embarrassing. Embarrassing. Because they walk around like they're so sad and so depressed all the time. Depression's of the devil. You are a child of God, the living God, the same God who created everything, the God who has the ability to give you anything. That's who you're a child of. Lord. We have so many scriptures that show us that people who walk away from it walk outside of it. People keep themselves out of the blessing. The children of Israel go all the way. That's one of the first accounts. Adam and Eve, they kept themselves out of Eden, not God, not the devil. They chose to sin. Amen? Cain decided to kill his brother. He chose to kill his brother because he was jealous. Because his brother was being more godly than he was, and he was jealous because God recognized that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Was it Jacob and Enoch, right? Jacob and Esau. Esau had the birthright. He had the promise. But he didn't care about it. So he sold it to Jacob for a bowl of soup. Soup. You can buy soup in the machine for 60 cents. Soup. He sold his birthright for soup. That showed God, I don't care for it. You know how many people sell their birthright all the time for something stupid? I'll sell my birthright for some trashy person who will be here tomorrow and will be gone the next day. I'll sell my birthright for some quick fix, for some quick help. A few minutes on the internet watching some porn. I'll sell my birthright for people doing that kind of stuff all the time because they don't have revelation. They don't have revelation. Listen, I'm not talking about if you struggle with something. I understand that. We're gracious about that. We want to help people. But you have to do something to stop it. You did something to start it. You got to do something to stop it. Amen? Yeah, we have to choose, Christians. We have to choose if we're going to walk in joy. Amen? Praise the Lord. You can greet any obstacle by just saying, do you know my God? My God is a God who gave me the power to move mountains. He didn't say what size of mountains. He just said whatever mountain's in front of you. It didn't matter if it's Mount Everest. That's the tallest mountain we have, right? I think so. Pretty close, if not the tallest. But that's the tallest one. It's one everyone wants to climb anyways. We don't have to climb it. We just move it out the way. Hallelujah. See ya. Gone. I ain't going to climb that mess. People die on that mountain. Why would you want to climb that? Listen, if you want to go hiking, that's fine. If you want to be healthy, that's fine. But you don't have to go die on a mountain just to prove something. I just look at the mountain and say, go, get. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'd rather go to the beach. Amen? At least it's warm. If I die on the beach, at least I'll die warm. You know what I mean? Palm trees and stuff, that'd be all right. Listen, when I go, take me to the beach. If you know where I'm going, haul my sorry butt down to the beach. Not my sorry butt, because it's going to be a happy butt. Hallelujah. Because when I go, glory to God, it's going to be good. Amen. I'm not going in sadness. I'm not dying in pain. I'm not, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I go, haul me to the beach. That's a notable quote, baby. You bring that out with a praise God. Hallelujah. You can't rejoice at the truth if you don't know the truth. You won't rejoice at the truth if you don't believe it. You can't rejoice. See, rejoicing can only come as a result of knowing the truth and believing it. When you believe what God has said, when you believe what the Bible tells you, then you can rejoice because you know what the truth is, and the truth is you won't go without. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We all know, praise God, I believe this is by the Spirit. We all know people who don't walk in what they're supposed to walk in. We all know people who do things opposite. They show the public one thing, but they do one thing, another thing behind closed doors. I'm here to warn you. Do not let that be a deciding factor in what you, how you see God. Don't let that control your thoughts. What people do, people will always fail. I don't care if it's the people you look up to the greatest. I don't care if it's your mother. I don't care if it's your father. I don't care if it's your pastor. You know, people will always fail you. But what I'm going to tell you right now is don't, if you see something that's wrong, don't you let that take you away from the truth that's in the Word. Praise the Lord. There was many opportunities I had to say, you know what, I don't want to go that way because of this person or that person. I had pastors fail me. I had Christians fail me. Why? People will always fail you. Do not base your faith on what someone else does wrong. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's for somebody, maybe many people. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You can't rejoice at the truth if you don't know the truth. You won't rejoice at the truth if you don't believe it. You just won't do it. If you don't believe the word, you're not going to rejoice. So what, you got to stir yourself up. You got to get yourself in that place of receiving. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, that's the great love chapter. It says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. Not in sin, not in what's wrong, but in the truth. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Real quick, flip to Romans 12:2. I want to get through the end of this because this is there's just good stuff. Amen. Romans 12:2. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed. There's a difference between conforming and transforming. Conforming is molding yourself after something that already exists. If you had a mold, my mom used to make chocolate when we were kids. She used to, at Easter time, she used to sell chocolate and stuff, and she would get these molds. I remember all these bunny molds and all this other stuff, and she would melt down chocolate, and she would pour it in the molds and spin it around. Sometimes she'd put two together, spin them around, and make a hot bunny and stuff like that, you know. And I remember, you even had those little clips on them, didn't you, to kind of hold that? Yeah, clothespins. Those little clips, hallelujah. No, praise the Lord. But you know, that it was conforming that chocolate to the shape of that mold. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not look at the way that the world is and try to be making your life look like that. Because when you do that, you're just conforming to something else. You're conforming to something else that's already failed. Listen, the ways of the world, they fail all the time. We see that left and right. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. They all fail us, don't they? It doesn't matter if you voted for this guy or this woman or whatever because you really like them. When they get in, they're going to fail you on something because they're humans and they're conformed to this world. You know, and that's the same thing that the Bible's telling us here. Don't conform, but transform. That word transform is the same word. It's where we get the word metamorphosis. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Metamorphosis. It means to be turned into something new, to be turned into something. You know why a lot of Christians fall into problems? It's because they come to church. They start getting helped, but they don't transform into something new. They keep conforming to what they were. They conform to what the world was. You do that by compromise. Well, you know, I know the word says this, an old pastor said this, but you know, I really want to do this, so I'm going to do it anyway. Conforming. You're not conforming. It's not about conforming to my word. It's about transforming yourself by the word of God. And see, the reason I bring this up, the reason this is part of these scripture or part of this message is because if we are in the mindset of always conforming, we will never put on joy because we say, I don't feel joy. Yeah. In the world, people say, I don't feel it, so I'm not going to put it on because I don't feel it. It's not mine. But see, the Bible tells us that it's already ours because Jesus already paid for it. It's a fruit of the Spirit. He gave us the Spirit on the inside of us, so I'm going to transform what isn't right because it's so totally different. I'm going to transform, metamorphosize into something else, the joy of the Lord. Why? Because that's where the strength of God is. The strength of God in your life is found in the joy. That's where it's found. That's why he says, rejoice in the Lord. Remember Philippians 4:4 and then through the 9 or whatever? It said, it told us what to do. It laid it out. You rejoice in the Lord. And then this is what you do. And then you stay in thanksgiving. Because when you do that, then the peace of God. You want peace? You got to put on the joy. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. This will transform your thinking. right here, what I'm about to say. What would happen if the next time the devil threw something at you, you laughed? Yeah. What would happen the next time something comes up and you just laughed? Have you ever had somebody come against you? I remember when I was in high school, I had these goofy group of kids that I'd hang out with. And I mean, they were goofy. And this one kid, they used to do stupid things. Like they would jump on the back of UPS trucks and ride them down the street and stuff. Those kids don't do that. One time the UPS driver saw him do it and he slammed on the brakes and the kid slammed into the back. It was hilarious. I watched it. I never jumped on the truck just because I didn't want to get hurt, but that was funny. I'm glad. Today, now that UPS driver would be thrown in jail and the mom would be, on national news talking about how mean he was to his kid. But back then, it was acceptable. It should be acceptable today. Listen, sometimes you need to be smacked by a UPS driver. Praise God. But anyway, at any rate, I remember this one time, there was this kid that was a well-known, like, kind of bully, tough guy, you know? And he was in the area when we were walking home from school. And this one buddy of mine, this dummy, man, he was a dummy, but it was funny. I'm making a point here. But he decided to, like, pick a fight with this guy. You know, just, like, start making fun of him and stuff. He was making fun of the bully. It doesn't happen. And then this bully starts kicking the snot out of this dude, right? I mean, starts really whooping on him. We're watching this. And my buddy Mike, the entire time he's being whooped, starts laughing. He's laughing, hysterically laughing. Do you know what happened? Eventually the bully's just like, I'm done with this. He got up and left. He didn't beat him anymore because he was tired of him laughing. Yeah, this happened. I'm not joking. This is how we need to be, Christians. Listen, I know that I'm not preaching some strange doctrine about that, but listen, sometimes we just need to stir it up a little. Well, wait a minute, Mike. The devil comes to me and he said, I'm going to take your kids. I'm going to take everything away from you. I'm like, wait a minute. If you realize the truth, wait a minute. Do you know who my God is? Do you realize that my God created everything, including you? Do you realize you're going to hell? Do you realize that you have no future? Do you realize that he gave me the power over you? Oh, you'll laugh. Because when somebody says something to you that's ridiculous, don't you laugh? Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't you start giggling a little bit when somebody says something that's wacky and out of line? You're just like, oh, man. You just start putting it on, right? That's what we need to do. We need to respond differently based on our position with the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm getting close to the end. Really close here, I promise. I know I'm pushing it hard. Praise God. But we want to get through the end. We want to see. Turn with me to James 1. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to have you turn there too because it'd take me a minute to find it. Praise the Lord. James, right after Hebrews. Towards the back of your Bible. James 1. Okay, here we go. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That's how he identifies. I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. You know what that word greetings is? Chiro. It's the same word in Philippians 4:4 that said, you can look it up, you have a Strong's Concordance. It's not, I'm not like some kind of scholar, Greek or Hebrew scholar. No, this you can look it up too. It's the same word. It's the exact same word, chiro. Greetings. What is he saying? Rejoice! He says rejoice. That's how James starts off. He says, rejoice. And now we got to go to the next. And it makes sense when you read it in context here too. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Rejoice, he says first. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Well, verse 3 tells us, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You could say it this way. And it wouldn't be out of line because it goes, if you go on reading this in context, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. It produces. When the devil tests you, see, this is a stupid thing. When the devil tests us and when we come out on the other side in faith, it makes us stronger. It makes us better. That's why the Lord allows some of that testing, because sometimes you need to get the quirks worked out of you. Anybody go to the gym? I know we have a few guys, Nick back here, he likes to lift weights and stuff, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Do you lift, Nick, I want to ask you a question real quick. When you go to the gym, do you lift the lightest weights possible? No. I mean, do you go in there and you just don't want to put up anything if you're as a practice? No, you don't do that. Why? Because you want to get stronger. He wants to build those muscles, right? You don't build muscles. I'm talking about continually. You know what I mean? Like he answered right. I understand what he's talking about. But you know, when you go to the gym to build muscle, you don't lift nothing. You don't go just stand there eating your sandwich, looking at the machine. You know what I mean? You don't go just because you have a membership. No, you go there to work out because you want to build the muscle. Amen. It's the same thing. That's what testing our faith does. If we allow it to do that, praise the Lord. Now, if you go lay your head under those machines, if you go lay your head under the weights and just let them slam down, it's not going to do you much good, is it? Praise the Lord. But that's what a lot of Christians do when they get tested. They lay down and let the weights slam on their head. Yeah, instead of just lifting them. When the devil pushes, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. Later on in James, he says, resist the devil. I think James 4, 7. He says, resist the devil and he'll flee. Resistance is the same thing as lifting weights. That's what you got. When people pay to resist weights. We should resist the devil because there's payment at the end. There's payment for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. I'm gonna end here. I want to read these. Psalm 100. Oh, that's back here. Psalm 100. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I know it's scaring a lot of you. Praise the Lord. Psalm 100. We're going to read the whole thing from verse 1 all the way through verse 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Praise God. You know what happens? You start singing happy songs. Start whistling while you work, praise the Lord. You start doing the things that change, amen? When you come before the Lord, this is how we are to present ourselves. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. That's why you rejoice, because he's good. If God is good, he's going to do something. He's going to fix something. He's going to make it different for you. He will turn the tide for you. He will put things in your favor if you trust him. You only access the things of God through faith. Only through faith. You will only ever access through faith. I'm going to close with 1 John 1:4. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. The reason the scripture is given to us is so we have an understanding of God, so we know our God, so we know that we can live in joy. So our joy is full, because when you know the truth of what is in these pages, you won't question God again. You won't say why God again, because you know it's not why God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is the answer. He's not the question. I said, God is the answer. He's not the question. Amen? What if you praise God from a place of joy? What if you, every single time that something came up, you started from a place of joy? Listen, you put on joy. Just as I could put on Caleb's jacket or not put on Caleb's jacket, you put on joy or you don't put on joy. But the choice is up to you. Praise the Lord. Are you going to laugh in the face of adversity because you know you're God? Or are you going to let the adversity take you out because you don't really want to believe? Praise God. Hallelujah.